Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together in this way here this morning. Father, we recognize that around the world today, many of our brothers and sisters are gathering together in fear, or maybe not even gathering together in large numbers because of their government or because of things that would control that and hinder that. And God, we thank you for the freedoms that we have, but at the same time, we pray for those, our brothers, that you would continue to give them grace and strength and peace as they gather in your name today. And Father, for all of us, as we have our services, have our gatherings, as we spend time listening to you and to your word today, wherever that may be around the world, God, would you touch our hearts? Would you touch our minds? Would you fill us with your spirit? And would you show us, God, again, your love and your grace and your mercy to each one of us? So Father, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And God, we want to worship you. We want to praise you from the depths of our hearts here today. And we thank you for this opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
Well, good morning. We welcome those that are in the foyer to come in and worship with us.
For shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
And welcome someone around you to church this morning.
Jesus blinded all my darkness. He sparked my heart within. His grace and mercy lit a passion, consumed my sin. Not like a city on a hilltop, I'll shine through the night. I am a made for His glory, I will not hide. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till everyone has heard. This love will never be extinguished. Taken by His power, His Spirit in me, His Spirit in me, His Spirit in me. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. Shout it from the rooftops, shout it till Jesus has changed my life. His name be lifted high. This holy fire is burning inside of me. Jesus has changed my life. His name be lifted high. This holy fire is burning inside of me. I cannot hold it inside. I cannot keep it quiet. This holy fire is burning inside of me. Keep it quiet. This holy fire's burning inside of me. I've been touched by a fire, so let the world come and watch me burn. to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on.
To each one of you, what a blessing to be able to gather together in this way to worship our God. Let's pray together again, shall we? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for who you are, and God, the opportunity, the privilege that we have to gather together here today in this way to honor and glorify and magnify you. God, I pray that we would just continue to worship you here today, continue to lift your name high. Again, Father, just speak to us here today. Continue to speak to us. Give us open and receptive hearts and minds to what you have for us. And again, we want to give all the honor and all the glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And again, welcome, special welcome to all of our visitors this morning. Good to see you here this morning. And I trust you'll sense the presence of the Lord and come and worship with us again. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. For our devotional this morning, Matthew chapter 7. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus had shared with his disciples and with the crowd that had gathered. And I want to focus on just a few verses here from Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Now, I'm sure this is not the first time you've heard those words. But I ask you a question this morning, and I ask myself the question, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you believe what Jesus says there? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And certainly there are, you know, things that go along with that. We can find other places in Scripture where we're to pray, we're to seek God's will, what His God's will is for our life, for God's will for our family, for the church. It's not just whatever I want, like I'd like a new car, maybe I'd like a side-by-side, you know, something like that. But what if I am in seeking God's will, asking for God's will, seeking God's will, knocking for God to open that door, will that happen? Do you believe that? Do you believe it in your head? Do you believe it in your heart? Verse 8, he goes on, says the same thing over again. "For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Do you believe that? Do you believe it in your head? Do you believe it in your heart? It's been a number of months ago that I presented an opportunity. I invited you to spend time in prayer and fasting for this process that we have been going through. And out in the back on the table, there was a plastic, kind of an ugly plastic square jug for you to put those little gems in. The gems are in a jar here this morning. And the jar is full. And I didn't fill it with extra ones. We had a jar at home that we were going to thrift or whatever, and I said, I need a nice glass jar to put those in. So I brought it and I dumped the jar, the ugly square container out, and the jar is full. I know some of you would like to put another gem in there yet from this past week, and you're free to do that. If sometime today you have an opportunity, just come on up. There's still a bag here. If the jar overflows, that's fine. That's good. Make a big pile on the table. I'm fine with that. But I ask you the question, and myself the question this morning, if you did that, if you've been doing that, why? Why did you do that? I hope you didn't do it simply because I invited you to do that. Simply because you thought, well, that's probably a good idea. But I trust you did that because you believe. You believe. Then when you ask, it will be given. When you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be opened. And I trust that as we go through the remainder of the service here today, that you will be affirmed in that belief. You will be affirmed in your confidence in that. That when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, seeking God's will, that He will answer. He will give. Because as it goes on to say, He's a good, good Father. He knows what you need. He knows what we need. He knows far better than we do ourselves. And we continue to trust in Him. So let's pray. Again, shall we? Father, again, just thank you. Thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that you invited us to ask, to seek, to knock. Lord, and all of that in your will. And when we do that, you tell us that when we ask, we will receive. When we seek, we will find. When we knock, it will be open. And God, that's certainly about the kingdom of heaven, certainly about, you know, receiving Jesus and becoming a child of God. But it's also about, you know, even the little things in our lives and the big things in our lives that we seek after according to your will, that we ask according to your will, that we knock for doors to be opened or closed according to your will. And you do that. And God, again, I just pray that our faith would be encouraged and lifted up here today through the remainder of this service, to recognize that in our heads, to recognize that in our hearts, and continue to grow in our faith because you are a faithful God. May you be honored. May you be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I'll ask our courtier.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then song number 573. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in thy Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Extend Christian greetings to each one here today. While Jesus was here on the earth and he was doing his ministry, at one point he asked his disciples a question. I'm going to ask each one of you that question this morning. The question he asked is, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? As you are out in your workplace, as you're out in your society, wherever you are on a daily basis, and you rub shoulders with other people, who do they say that Jesus is? Do they even know the name of Jesus? Have they been around you enough to know that you know someone by the name of Jesus? And after they respond to that with a number of different, either, you know, John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets, Jesus then asked them a question. And I'm asking you that question as well. Who do you say that I am? If someone was going to ask you, who is this Jesus that you talk about? How would you answer them? Simon Peter answered and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, listen to this, upon this rock I will build my church. If you do not have that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on a cross for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the whole world, Naumburg does not stand a chance of doing what Jesus said. Jesus said, upon this rock, or this confession, I will build my church. And he went on and he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that's a challenge that we have as a church. And I really do appreciate the motto, to know Christ and to make him known. Because if we know Christ and we don't make him known, we failed. The purpose for Naumburg Mennonite Church is to make him known to the community, to the world. To make him known to the children that grow up in this church, but also the children of our communities. We need to make him known. And one of the things that is so extremely important, I believe, if we are going to be able to accomplish that mission, is yes, we do have to know who Jesus Christ is. But we also need some other things. One of those things, Jesus says, by your love for one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. So as the world looks at us, what do they see? As the world looks at us as a congregation, what do they see? What do they hear about these people that gather together on a Sunday morning at the place called Naumburg Mennonite Church? I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a lengthy portion of Scripture. And there are a lot of things that I would like to say this morning. But there is nothing more important than what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has to tell us. I can't say anything more important than what God's Word says. Heaven forbid if I ever get to that point that I think what I have to say is more valuable than what God has to say. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There's some things that we need to know. And one of the things that we as a church need to know is that there are spiritual gifts that are given to each and every one sitting here on the pew this morning. And your spiritual gift is probably not going to be the same as my spiritual gift, or the spiritual gift is the one sitting beside you. That does not make you more important, or it does not make you less important than anyone else. He goes on, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Underline that. The Spirit gives these gifts to everyone, but it is for the profit of everyone. The gift that's given to me is not given to me for my profit, for my gain. The gift that's given to you is given to you for the profit of those who call themselves believers in Jesus Christ. The Spirit gives these gifts, but they are not for my own profit. God forbid that I ever feel like I can use the gift that God has given me to enhance my own self. It's for the profit of those who are in our midst. It goes on in verse 8. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distinguishing to each one individually, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Catch that. It is the Spirit that gives you the gift that you have. And the Spirit knows who you are. And he gives you the gift that is going to complement you and that you will be able to use for the profit of all, for the building of his kingdom. It is the Spirit that gives the gifts. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Catch this. There are many members in the body of Christ. And when it speaks about the body of Christ, it's not just speaking about Naumburg Mennonite Church. The body of Christ is worldwide. And it says that the Spirit gives these gifts. There are many members, but we are one body. That is extremely important to remember. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body,' is it therefore not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling?" Listen. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. So if I find myself that God has given me the hand, I have no right to believe that hand is more important than the ear. I have no right to believe that hand is more important than the foot. The thing I need to remember is that hand that God has given to me is to be used as one body. It's to be used for the working of the body so that the body can function properly. And that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying if the whole body was an eye, where would be the hearing? We all have a part to play, regardless of what that is that he has given to us. Verse 19 says, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." Underline, one body. "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Now that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Once again, notice, if the body is functioning like God intended it to function, If the body is understanding its place of its hands and its feet and its arms and whatever the part of the body is, if we understand the part that God has placed us where he wants us in the body, it says that the body will have no schism. What does the world see when they look at the body of Christ? What does the world hear? Does the world see a body that's unified and functioning as God intended it? Or does the world see a body that's fighting one another, that the members are in disagreement with one another, that the hand thinks it's more important than the foot, or the eye thinks it's more important than the ear? What is the world seeing when they look at the body? Are they seeing a body that's complete and a body that is in unity with one another? And a body that not only is in unity, but they care for one another. They rally around one another. When one suffers, everyone suffers with it. It goes on and it says now in verse 26, and it says, if one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. Now listen. God has appointed these in the church: apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? We know the answer: no. There is no one person that has all of these gifts and these abilities. And then he goes on and he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then we have 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You see, as I understand this portion of Scripture, and as it speaks to us as the body of Christ, as it speaks to me as I know Jesus, who he is, that he is the Christ, the living Son of God, how does it then affect my life? As I understand that the Spirit has given me gifts to use for the profit of the church, how do I react? How do I live? And he goes on and he says, there is an excellent way. It's a way of love. Without love, we are a sunk ship. Ephesians 2:21. There the scripture speaks about the fact, and Darren read this portion of scripture for us Friday evening. It says, in whom all the building is fitly framed together. Have you ever watched a carpenter work? Have you ever watched a farmer build something? There is a difference. When a farmer builds something, he grabs a chainsaw and a couple 20-penny spikes, and he makes a cut and he nails it together. And it works some of the time. It is not fitly framed together. You see, the scripture speaks about the fact that Jesus Christ wants a building that is fitly framed together. The tendons on the building come together like that, and you cannot see the joint. Go out to these mailboxes that are in our lobby and observe them. They were not built by a farmer. you can hardly see the joints. You have to look very closely. They were built by a cabinet maker, someone who knew what he was doing. So it is with Jesus Christ. He takes all of these gifts, all of these things that he has given to us, and he fitly frames them together. He knows where every piece belongs. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You get a piece of the puzzle and you think it looks right, and you set it down and it doesn't go in. It's not the right piece. It's not fitly framed together. Jesus Christ wants his body, his church, to be a building that is fitly framed together. It was an absolutely joy to be able to sit these last few days and to listen to you as you came in and shared the name that God had put on your heart. And like Darren said, the first probably half an hour, I was sitting there and I was wondering, what is going on? This seemed different. And not long into it, I began to realize what God was doing. Because one of the things that we did that was a little bit different, when you gave a name this time, we asked you, what is it about that person, their character, their quality, what is it that you see that you think they would be called to ministry? And as we began to see those things that you were seeing, it became very clear that God was beginning to fitly frame together a building. Those names that were not Dale and Kelly Kennel were very obvious that they had gifts and abilities to minister to this congregation in a different area. And after Friday night, I think it was like 11:30 when we got out here, I was so excited. I mean, I was not one bit tired. It was after 12:30 before I went to sleep Friday night. Last night at about 5 o'clock, I hit a wall. But God says that he is going to build a house that's fitly framed together. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I want to try to very quickly tell a story of a couple who has become very dear to my heart. Bob and Brittany Hibbs from Williamton, Ohio, were a couple that was serving the Lord in their church. They were very committed. They got married. They had a small farm. And they desperately wanted a family. After 16 years, there were no children. And they were praying for God to give them a family. And in their prayers, they felt God calling them to sell their farm in Ohio and to move. So they made the preparations. They sold their farm. And as they tried to discern God's will, they felt that God was telling them to go to El Salvador. And their plans were to go to El Salvador and to start a children's orphanage. That was their plans. They went to El Salvador. They got to a city called Nijapal. And as they were in that city and exploring that city for an orphanage, they discovered that the city was controlled by two gangs. One on the one side of the city, the other on the other side of the city. The center of the city was a truce zone. And these gangs were filled with young people. People as young as 9 years old. Two late teens. And God said to Bobby and Brittany, here is where I want you to serve. Not a children's orphanage. So they began a youth ministry in the center of the city, in the truce zone. The first year, they had like 6 or 7 young people that came, and they took them out for a weekend outing. And they shared Jesus Christ. One year later, of those 7 young people that they had taken, 2 were left. The rest had been shot by gangs, gang violence. Had I been Bobby and Brittany, I think I would have packed up my bags and I would have headed back to Ohio. But they stayed. They've been there now, I think this is maybe going on their 17th year that they've been in Nijapal. And the only reason, and I love the way God orchestrates these stories. The only reason I ever got to know about them, I would have never heard about these people. Except there was 3 young people from this congregation, or from this area, that happened to be traveling on their dirt bikes through Nijapal. And one of them had an accident. It was Isaac Zare, Scott Zare, and Elliot Martin. One of them had an accident, and Bobby and Brittany heard that there are these Americans in Nijapal that are in need, so they went and helped Elliot Martin with his motorcycle. And then we had the blessed experience of having them come to visit Wilbur and Bonnie Zare. And it just happened to be that it was on the night we had small group fellowship, and they came to our small group fellowship, and I got to hear their story. But what I'm saying is that God has each one of us. God has a plan for you. That plan may not look anything like what you thought it was going to be. But let me tell you, if you want to be blessed, start reading the stories that Bobby and Brittany share in their organization that's called MAE El Salvador. It absolutely blesses my heart when I see how the young people are coming to Jesus Christ. And they're being baptized. They become followers of Jesus Christ. And these 2 gangs, they will actually allow a person who comes to Jesus Christ, and if they come and they ask to be released from the gang, they will allow them to leave the gang that they belong to. The 2 gang members will come up. Now, got back. Now, this isn't non-resistant. But he grabbed the man by the shirt collar. He picked him up. He carried him out in the street. He beat him up, and he came back in and sat back down to listen to Bobby. God has a plan for us. Be careful, be willing to follow that plan. It's a plan that's going to give you a hope, and it's going to give you a future. And if you felt God's call on your life, He has not abandoned you. The call is still there. Like Brother Darren said, embrace that call. Allow that call to incubate. God will show you where that call is. And when you find that calling, there will be peace. You will have peace in what you're doing. even if it's in a foreign land, among gang members. It's time to close. 1 Corinthians 15:58. To every one of you that are seated here this morning, therefore, my beloved brothers, sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. Knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. This morning, for closing prayer, I invite you to all join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.